Welcome to The GAC Files, a podcast about the people, issues and ideas driving Global Affairs Canada.
Bienvenue au dossier d'AMC, un balado sur les gens, les enjeux et les idées qui animent Affaires mondiales Canada.
And now, introducing your host, Global Affairs Canada's Deputy Minister of International Trade, John Hannaford.
Voici votre animateur, John Hannaford, sous-ministre du Commerce international d'Affaires mondiales Canada.
Bonjour à tous. Bienvenue pour une autre conversation concernant nos moyens de travail pendant cette période assez difficile en ce qui concerne la pandémie et les limites que are part of our experience now. I'm very fortunate today to have three more colleagues join me together with André Frenette for this second conversation around our experiences in terms of a return to work. Some of you, if you listened to the last podcast on this issue, will recall André. André is our Director General, who's responsible for the coordination of all the work of the DiEM Task Force with respect to the return to work, and is overseeing all of the efforts that we're pursuing, both with respect to our mission network and our offices here in Canada. We also have Isabelle André Lavigne, qui est directrice des programmes de santé organisationnelle. Sam Rezavi, who is an analyst with our Intelligence Assessments and Reporting Division. And Annick Lemoyen, qui est directeur adjoint de la Direction des Opérations des Permis Services de la Clientèle et Rapport. Okay. So, André, we talked last week a bit about the experience of people in the missions. And I'm kind of interested now to where we're going to focus this week on a situation here in Ottawa and more generally here in Canada. And, you know, this is all happening in a context where we are seeing numbers begin to increase, but we're also thinking about how we further roll out the return to the workplace that we had started in pilot form a few months ago. So maybe you could just kind of catch people up on where we're at right now and kind of the overall plan that we have.
All right, well, thanks, John. Bonjour à vous tous, c'est un plaisir d'être ici avec vous aujourd'hui. Alors oui, effectivement, ce qu'on voit dernièrement, c'est que les chiffres, surtout ici dans la région de la capitale nationale, ont augmenté un peu, surtout comparé au mois précédent. Et ça a créé une certaine anxiété chez les employés. Plusieurs employés m'ont posé la question, pourquoi pas mettre une petite pause sur la mise en œuvre de cette phase 2 et attendre que les chiffres commencent à baisser. Et donc là-dessus, je dirais une couple de choses. D'abord, où ce qu'on est rendu aujourd'hui, pour ce qui est des mesures qu'on a mises en place, comparé à ce qu'on était au mois de mars, avril, c'est pas du tout la même chose. On a vraiment fait beaucoup de progrès dans les mesures que nous avons appliquées dans les édifices du ministère à travers la région de la capitale nationale. Vous vous souviendrez qu'au mois de juillet, on avait commencé avec un projet pilote. Donc, il y a quatre directions générales qui sont rentrées au bureau et pour deux semaines et on a appris beaucoup de choses. Les employés nous ont beaucoup parlé de leur expérience. On a beaucoup appris. On a fait plein d'ajustements à l'approche qu'on avait dans les édifices. Puis bon, après ça, la phase 2 a commencé progressivement. On est rendu maintenant à 12 directions générales. Aujourd'hui, en fait, on est rendu à 15 parce que LWX ont commencé la réintégration, en fait, aujourd'hui. Et le groupe 4, le dernier groupe, le fera le 9 novembre. C'est vraiment important de répéter que ce n'est pas tout le monde là, qui revient au bureau. C'est les employés qui ont été identifiés par leur direction générale de par les fonctions essentielles qu'ils occupent au sein du ministère. Puis, en fait, je vous dirais également que depuis le début de la crise, le maximum de gens qu'on a eu à intégrer les édifices, ça n'a jamais dépassé 14 % de notre effectif. Puis dans ce 14 %-là, on parle de gens à temps plein, à temps partiel et occasionnel. Puis les gens à temps plein, là, c'est vraiment là, c'est une poignée de gens là, qui retournent aux édifices. So, The measures that we've put in place remain very consistent, John, with the guidance and direction we're getting from public health officials, from the Treasury Board, and of course from what our staff are telling us. Business continuity plans have been updated. Critical lists of staff have been updated, and we continue to implement phase two because we have a great deal of confidence in the measures that we've put in place. And the majority of our employees that have come back to the buildings have told us that there is satisfaction with those measures and they do in fact feel safe in the building. So for the time being, phase two continues. A handful of staff are coming in, but the vast majority of our employees will continue to work from home well into, but into next year for sure.
And Andre, maybe you could just build off one point there. You mentioned that the feedback you're getting is mm-hmm. is positive. How are you getting that feedback, and how can we make sure that people who are listening to this are heard?
So there are two surveys. One is the Pulse survey that all employees are filling out, and we encourage you to continue to do that because it's really quite helpful. As I mentioned in the past task force, the past town hall meeting. The results we get from the Pulse survey are reviewed by task force members every time and we adjust accordingly. But there's also a second survey. So we survey managers of employees who are returning to the workplace to see how things are going, right? And so we're getting a lot of data from frontline managers. Not all is perfect, right? We still have employees who are walking around the building sometimes not wearing their masks. That makes people uncomfortable. But what we are saying is that the vast majority of employees that have returned have reported to us that the measures in place, the hand washing stations, the sanitizers, the wipes, the masks, the signs on the floors, the signs on the wall, make them feel a lot more comfortable about being back.
Yeah, when I am back in the building, I agree. I take comfort from all those things. And I must say, I do feel anecdotally that people are wearing their masks and it does feel like there's very high compliance, which is also a source of comfort.
Yeah.
Peut-être on peut tourner, Isabelle André, concernant les niveaux de subvention de notre système de ressources humaines. Vous êtes évidemment un gestionnaire dans ce domaine. Quelles sont les stratégies maintenant pour providing support for people during this difficult time.
Merci beaucoup, Monsieur Hannaford, pour nous inviter à ce podcast aujourd'hui. C'est très apprécié. Je pense que les ressources humaines sont un joueur parmi tant d'autres joueurs dans l'organisation actuellement qui travaillent de front pour supporter autant nos employés qui travaillent à la maison au quotidien que nos employés qui réintègrent, comme André disait si bien, dans le contexte des mesures qui sont prises en place en milieu de travail. On doit dire, pour tous ceux qui ont tranquillement réintégré ou sont venus faire des réparations sur leur ordinateur, toute forme, toute réserve, peuvent le travail depuis quelques mois a grandement changé. On doit dire particulièrement que c'est presque complètement modifié. Et je pense que c'est non seulement pour aussi adresser la composante dans laquelle on se retrouve actuellement, mais ça a des avantages sur plusieurs fronts. Je dois dire que premièrement, on a beaucoup appris de la situation internationale de notre côté, bien au-delà et bien avant nos collègues downtown, dans le temps du printemps dernier, ce qui nous a permis, évidemment, de se préparer très rapidement et se tourner, justement, à bien supporter nos employés dans le contexte de la réintégration d'Affaires mondiales Canada. André et l'équipe en arrière de ça font un travail de front. Je dois dire que le ARC, qui est évidemment aussi une des plateformes excessivement très opérationnelles. Donc, plusieurs de nous au niveau directeur et autres se rencontrent régulièrement au quotidien pour parler des enjeux très, très opérationnels sur le terrain et d'être en mesure de modifier nos approches rapidement au quotidien. Donc, ce sont des choses qui sont mises en place autant sur la composante de la gouvernance dans l'organisation qui nous permet de très vite se changer et d'évoluer parce que la situation évolue excessivement très vite. Parlons du port du masque, par exemple, plusieurs mois passés, c'était un concept complètement impossible, invraisemblable. Maintenant, la culture de l'organisation et du monde entier porte le port du masque en seulement quelques temps. Alors, on évolue beaucoup à travers la situation actuellement. Et je dois dire que c'est bien impressionnant de voir la capacité humaine de pouvoir justement se modifier et imploser justement une culture de la santé et la sécurité en milieu de travail. Donc ça, c'est très bien. Première vague, on a pris beaucoup le temps d'apprendre dans le contexte de cette vague-là, autant que la science was evolving at the same time as we were evolving. We're arriving at wave two in a very different way and a very better posture, I believe, within the organization, as not only that we have a great corporate function that supports the organization policy-wise, tool, the intranet website that's completely dedicated to COVID now was completely reactive in the first wave. Now that we had the time to settle a little bit during the summertime and work with the amazing work that L Branch has done to really consolidate all the information and centralize the information on the intranet page, both for the employee, but also for managers. This has been a great, great success, and we encourage both every hat. I have my employee hat, and I also have my manager hat, and we all have our different hats. We have to take care of ourselves as well in the context of COVID, but also utilize our ability to support our staff as managers as well. So those tools are available for all of us on that intranet page. That would be it for me a little bit.
Well, thank you. That's a lot. And you were saying that you're just one of a whole series of players on all this. But the human resources obviously borne an extraordinary amount of the brunt of this as we think about how we support our community through what's an extraordinary time, a unique time. So thank you to you and your colleagues for the work you've been doing. We also have an opportunity now to hear from a couple of people who have sort of firsthand experience in the reentry process. And I'll turn maybe first to Sam. And Sam, you've been, given the nature of your job, you have been in on and off through the entire period. So you've sort of seen the evolution of the workplace over the course of that. And I'm just kind of interested in your experiences and any reflections you have on what we're doing well and where we should be kind of focusing some of our work as this proceeds.
So thank you very much for having us. It's always exciting to talk about this because, as you said, our unit was intimately involved in the coming back to the office fairly quickly. So I would say late April, we were already back part-time. And I would say early May, we're largely there full. We're part of the 14% that André was mentioning earlier, which I didn't know was 14%, so that's interesting. I would say that for our unit, I know 2020 was difficult for most, if not all people, but for our unit, it was arguably a little bit more positive than negative for multiple reasons. I would say commute to work has been easier. This is something people forget. For the longest time until August, I think 125, the parking lot was empty and it was easier to get to work. So I don't live too far, so it wasn't too much of an issue for me. But I know for some people who live further away, it was kind of a little bonus.
And Sam, did some of your colleagues have experiences with public transit as part of that as well? Or what was the, for the people who are commuting, are they commuting largely in their own cars or by bike or in buses? What was the kind of experience?
So I would say most people drove in when they told us that 125 would be free and easy to come, especially some people live further away. So I don't know of anyone who took public transport until when we had gone back from stage 2 to 1 kind of thing earlier. Some people started taking the bus again. Some people were able to get the passes of other people at 111. So I don't like to say that this is a more positive thing, because from an eco-friendly perspective, I'd rather people take the public transport than each person coming in by car. But from a easier to get to work, it was better, right? So that was one thing I would say. Maybe at work, I would say the flow of information had decreased, especially the classified information. So that's one of the reasons why we had to go back to work, because we operate in a classified environment with classified material. So it's almost impossible to work from home. So that's why we're allowed to come back earlier. But I would say that the flow of information is more manageable now. So these days has been good. Also, and this is maybe where you can chip in, I think our access to senior clients has been easier. They seem to be more available. I would say since May, we've been briefing ADM and DMs, including yourself, I was on a weekly basis. So last week, for example, we briefed all four DMs separately, obviously. But from a unit perspective, COVID has been positive in the sense that you guys are in the building, more accessible time, and so on and so forth. So maybe, so I'm not going to complain about that. And the last thing I'll say is that it killed the cubicles. So a lot of people were in cubicles, and now each of the analysts got their own offices. So it killed 2.0. COVID killed 2.0, and I'm not going to complain about that. I think 2.0 was an overrated system, and so it's an interesting perspective for us because it's been largely positive.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. I always like to hear that it's nice to brief me, so that's good. And vos expériences dans ce contexte, quels étaient les défis ou les occasions? Dans le lieu de travail.
Merci. En fait, merci de me recevoir et merci pour cette question. Pour le moment, la majorité de ma direction travaille toujours à partir de la maison. Mais pour ceux qui doivent accéder à la tour du 111, c'est rassurant de savoir que le comité de réintégration pour le secteur a mis en place plusieurs mesures sanitaires afin de mieux ou du mieux possible assurer la santé des employés et éviter la propagation du virus. On a eu quelques défis, bien sûr, depuis le mois de mars, mais le plus gros a été, en fait, de transitionner une équipe de travailler à partir du bureau au télétravail. À TIA, on dispose d'une équipe de services à la clientèle et des agents de permis qui produisent des services essentiels, mais qui répondent régulièrement à des appels téléphoniques des clients externes. Avant mars, les agents n'avaient pas de téléphone portable de travail car le besoin jusqu'à ce moment-là n'était pas nécessaire. Étant donné que nous avons des normes de service à respecter, parfois 4 heures, c'était difficile d'envisager de ne pas être au bureau pour répondre au téléphone. Dans un environnement de service à la clientèle, il a fallu considérer les composantes des opérations et rapidement mettre en place des pratiques sans interrompre notre disponibilité aux clients. Donc, ça a été difficile, mais nous avons réussi à rapidement à mettre en place des solutions temporaires qui nous ont permis de continuer à communiquer avec les clients externes. Puis en quelques jours, qui est vraiment incroyable, nous avons pu rassembler assez de téléphones portables pour équiper les employés. Il n'y a eu aucune répercussion négative à nos services, donc c'est très plaisant de savoir, mais c'est surtout grâce à la flexibilité puis la résilience de notre équipe en place. On a eu également un autre défi, c'était de transitionner ou intégrer un nouvel employé à l'équipe. C'est quelqu'un qui arrivait d'un autre ministère, donc non seulement nouvelle à l'équipe, mais nouvelle à Affaires mondiales. Et bien sûr, l'intégration dans les débuts d'un employé, c'est très important pour qu'il puisse s'acclimater à la culture, puis ainsi de suite. Et dans un contexte de confinement puis de télétravail, il fallait revoir la pratique d'accueil et l'adapter à la nouvelle situation. À partir de, que ce soit de la logistique pour l'amener d'équipement de travail au transfert de connaissances, il fallait tout repenser. La région, au moment de sa première journée, était en alerte rouge. Donc, il n'y avait pas de déplacement, il n'y avait pas d'accès à l'immeuble. Donc, il fallait vraiment réfléchir à une nouvelle approche pour lui offrir un accueil chaleureux comme on le ferait dans des conditions normales. Puis, avant son arrivée, il fallait s'assurer, en fait, qu'elle disposerait dès sa première journée, parce que c'est toujours difficile quand on arrive au ministère d'avoir à la fois accès aux Signet, accès aux documents partagés. Donc, c'était de s'assurer que tout était coordonné afin qu'elle puisse avoir rapidement accès à cette technologie. Aussi, c'était de s'assurer que sa trousse de bienvenue était à jour, de un, mais aussi numérique. On se fie beaucoup sur des documents papier, mais là, c'était vraiment de numériser tout ce qui était en papier pour qu'elle puisse avoir accès rapidement à ça. Sa première journée, c'était d'établir et puis discuter, en fait, les attentes et les objectifs pour la semaine à venir. C'est une étape super importante dans toutes les situations, mais d'autant plus aujourd'hui. Assurer un suivi hebdomadaire afin qu'elle se sente appuyée, mais aussi et surtout pour créer ce lien qui n'existe pas quand on est en confinement et à la maison. Et en fait, c'était de la présenter de façon virtuelle à l'équipe et de mettre des différents processus pour qu'elle puisse apprendre à connaître ses collègues en utilisant Microsoft Teams. Je dois avouer que Microsoft Teams nous a soutenus énormément pendant cette transition et demeure aujourd'hui l'outil indispensable pour assurer nos opérations. Donc, c'est vraiment l'outil de préférence. Que ce soit pour partager les écrans, partager des documents, tenir des rencontres, c'est vraiment, c'était indispensable. Puis, d'après la rétrospection de l'employé, son intégration à l'équipe a été difficile d'une certaine façon à apprendre à connaître ses collègues. C'est quelque chose de très important, mais en général, a été vraiment un succès. Puis, donc, c'est un très beau succès, malgré le défi.
That's great. I got to say, I think this is something I've been thinking a bit about as well, is how it's one thing. We went into this period of 6 months online based on a whole series of relationships that we'd established over the course of, in many instances, long periods of time prior to that. But now when you begin to reconstitute teams as new members join and as people come from outside the organization, how you kind of maintain that sense of community and affinity in team members is, it's absolutely possible with all the tools we have. It's just something we really need to be very actively doing because it is so important for people. So thank you for the example. And I guess I want to just ask all of you, based on your experiences over the last 6 months, what do you have sort of advice that you would share with people who are now kind of moving into a stage where they may be coming back into the workplace? Just any kind of reflection that you think might be something that would be a key takeaway from the experiences that you've had. Maybe start with Sam.
I think the measures that André was mentioning earlier have been very good, I have to say. They make me comfortable. Like, for example, earlier, a couple of weeks ago, I was having lunch with one of my colleagues, and she was mentioning what's the difference between being this cafeteria and being in a restaurant, for instance. And I said, well, it's a building of like-minded people who all, I'm not a lawyer, but from a legal perspective, you still say that you admit before coming into the building that you had no symptoms, you haven't been in contact, and you haven't traveled. So kind of, it's reassuring to be in a building full of people that I've accepted to say this publicly. And also, I think people, I don't even need to convince them. I think a lot of people will still want a little bit of human interaction. I think I can see people craving, even if it's social distancing, even if you have a mask, it's still good to go in. And as you were mentioning, integrating people is complicated. The other one I would mention is mentoring people is going to be even complicated. The point of mentoring is come to this meeting with me, even if you don't say anything, just come and learn. Those are becoming harder and harder. So I think The measures are good. I would even say they're sometimes even extreme. Last time I saw an arrow that said you can't have somebody 2 meters up from you. I didn't even know what that meant. Looking at the ceiling, I don't know what's going to happen. So they're very good. Everyone is in place. Everyone is respecting the mask. And I think everyone is craving the human interaction.
Isabelle Antoine, réflexion?
Well, I mean, I have different hats, right? So from a corporate perspective, I have my HOSH hat. So I guess from a domestic point of view, we'll still need to keep up with the fact that we have to try as much as possible to remain at home so that we're good Canadian citizens and we're trying to do our deeds and we're trying to collectively find a way to really, comme on dit en bon français, écraser la courbe le plus possible. Et je pense que ça, c'est vraiment notre grand travail collectivement comme Canadiens et comme citoyens. And André was mentioning, it's the balance between all of this that it's a challenge. But I think that, I mean, we've always demonstrated, I think GAC has been one of those departments that have such an ability to manage crisis. This is one of our strengths. And I really believe, I mean, I've had the chance to manage this particular crisis from the start. And we've always found ways to always look at the health and safety of our folks first. This has been, from the get-go, our priority. And we look at solutions to make it happen. So what does it represent to reintegrate the workplace? It is made with very strong decision points, always in the mind that we keep our people safe. I've had the chance as well to hybridly work from both home and from the office. As you say, I'm in the office right now. These are our Mondays. Management is coming into the office as we're integrated in phase two. We do it very differently. We make sure that we are getting this very open communication between each other, where we're not comfortable, what to do to be more comfortable as employees reintegrating. It is different from one person to the other. This is what we found. Beaucoup, comme gestionnaire, faut aussi adapter nos messages parce qu'on a différents employés avec différentes capacités de gérer le stress et la situation actuelle sous un point personnel. Ils ont tous des situations personnelles. Comment ça se manifeste aussi au travail? J'ai eu des questions comme par exemple, j'ai des enfants, est-ce que je devrais intégrer au travail? Parce que bon, les écoles, c'est une source actuellement de conflits. J'ai moi-même deux jeunes enfants dans le contexte primaire. Alors, ce sont tous des défis qu'on vit au régulier dans notre chapeau personnel. Comment ça s'intègre? Mais c'est en gardant vraiment les ponts de communication entre nous, les gestionnaires et les employés et de trouver les situations propre à chacun. Je pense que c'est vraiment le mot d'ordre. Et non seulement ça peut être quelque chose qui est adapté pour vous une journée, le lendemain peut être finalement pour vous la situation problématique où vous ne vous sentez pas bien. Qu'est-ce que je fais? Je ne me sens pas bien. Alors, garder les ponts de communication avec la gestion et les employés régulièrement pour, we say, touch base with your folks, touch base with your employees and really feel how they are. It might be physical, it might be also psychological. This is what we've been seeing over the last 8 months in the making of COVID. We're now entering, we were talking about phase and wave two earlier. This is also the impact of COVID. We're starting to feel it psychologically. So bear in mind, be really in touch with both your colleagues, your friends, your neighbors, but your employees as well. So this is in my different hats here at Global Affairs.
Oh, that's super helpful. Thank you. Anik?
I would agree with what was said, and communication is definitely key, and finding ways to connect with both your colleagues, your managers, with your employees, with everyone. It's really easy to lose that connection when you're not together in the office and you lose those habits. So it's to find ways to communicate, to transfer information, but to also keep that social connection between teams or amongst teams. And also empathy and patience, because those who are returning to the office, they're definitely new workplace etiquettes that we need to respect in order to be mindful with for those who are around us. And you know, in 111 Sussex, the S Tower, you can only go into the elevator one at a time. And if some of you remember, the elevators were often hors service. So if we start right now, there's a very limited amount of employees going back to the office. But if we become more frequent going in bigger groups, then there's going to definitely have to be patience as we continue to respect the qu'on respecte les consignes qui sont établies dans l'immeuble. Donc,
oui. Oui, absolument. Et peut-être finalement, ceci est une période assez difficile en ce qui concerne la santé mentale et évidemment, il y a les outils et les ressources qui sont disponibles pour nous comme employés. André, quelles sont les ressources disponibles pour notre communauté dans ce contexte?
Yeah, thanks for that question because I think it's quite relevant given where we are now. And I want to use maybe the opportunity to pick up on a point that Isabelle André made about reaching out to colleagues and folks that we know, not just in our own organization, but across the public service. You know, we've heard some very positive comments today, and it makes me very happy to hear those. I think all of us here today have had a positive experience in reintegrating the workplace, but not all of us are experiencing this in the same way. That's for sure. And you know, I think a lot about parents who've got young kids going to school and on a daily basis having to make decisions about, does the kid go to school? Do we not go to school? If the kid comes back home with the sniffles, what do we do? How do we react? It's not easy to be a parent right now with children in school. I think a lot about people that I know that live alone and that live in an 800 square foot apartment, you know, alone. And the struggles that they're going through all the while continuing to produce for this organization. So Isabelle André's point about continuing to reach out is really important. You know, we're putting together some sessions. I mentioned this at the last town hall. We're very lucky as an organization to have some top-notch professional in health and well-being in our department. We really do put together a suite of seminars and workshops that are available to employees. I'm not going to go through all of those, of course. But maybe just a couple to point out. Some of these are ongoing. Dealing with anxiety, right? We have sessions in this during the fall to help our employees, support our employees in dealing with anxiety, and we know that there's a lot of that right now going on. The recent Pulse survey has indicated to us that workload is an issue, right? And there's a direct correlation between mental health and workload. And our colleagues in the department have put together or putting together workshops to help managers and help employees to kind of juggle the whole workload issue with parental issues. And I understand that that doesn't solve the entire problem. And we need to continue to have those conversations in the departments about that. And also picking up on a point from Annick earlier about comment bien intégrer les nouveaux employés dans nos équipes, c'est une dynamique qui est maintenant complètement différente de ce qu'on vivait avant. Donc, comme gestionnaire, j'aurais besoin, moi, des outils sur comment gérer cette nouvelle dynamique-là qui existe au sein de mon équipe. Alors, on offre ce genre de formation-là, de support, si vous voulez, aux gestionnaires qui doivent gérer maintenant des équipes de façon, ou en fait, continuer à gérer des équipes de façon virtuelle. Et ça continue, on continue à avoir des défis cet écart-là. Même des points très positifs qui ont été soulevés par Annick, et ça, on le vit nous-mêmes à tous les jours, il y a quand même des défis qui restent. So, as we go through this month of October, mental health month, there's a number of training opportunities that are available for the staff or employees. I encourage all of you to go on the intranet site, find out what's available. These sessions have been determined based on the needs that we've expressed as an organization. Find out what's available, carve out a bit of time, and sign up.
Great. Well, look, we should end on that, but thank you so much, all three of you, for participating. André, it's always a pleasure. And this is a conversation that will continue. Thanks very, very much to all of you.
Thank you, everyone.
thank you for listening, and we look forward to you joining us for future episodes of The GAC Files, a podcast about the people, issues, and ideas driving Global Affairs Canada. Don't forget to join the conversation online using hashtag GACFiles.
Merci d'avoir écouté le balado et nous espérons que vous vous joindrez à nous pour les épisodes futurs des dossiers d'AMC. Un balado sur les gens, les enjeux et les idées qui animent Affaires mondiales Canada. N'oubliez pas de vous joindre à la conversation en ligne en utilisant le hashtag dossier d'AMC.
If you have any feedback or suggestions for future topics or guests, please send us an email at extott-ldce@international.gc.ca.
Si vous avez des commentaires ou des suggestions concernant des sujets futurs ou des nouveaux invités, vous pouvez communiquer avec nous par courriel à l'adresse extott-ldce@commercialinternational.gc.ca.